few weeks ago, we began spending some time on this program trying to learn what music you're choosing. Want to know what you're listening to in your car, at work, or in your home. Doesn't have to make the Billboard charts, doesn't have to win a Grammy, might not be on every radio station. We're just looking for people around the country who want to tug on your coat about something they've heard. We first met the owner of an independent record store in Georgia, and today we're joined by Jeff Martinek. He's a professor of English literature at Missouri Southern State College in Joplin, Missouri. He comes to us by way of member station KWMU in St. Louis. Jeff, welcome.
Welcome.
So where have you been finding music?
Well, a lot of the stuff I get from listening to the radio over the internet. One of my favorite stations is one I grew up listening to out of the New York City area called WFMU. And now, thanks to the miracle of the internet, I get to listen to it through my computer, going out over my stereo. I hear a lot of interesting stuff that way.
That's one of the last kind of alternative freeform stations, virtually unformatted stations.
Unformatted and completely supported 100% by listeners, no underwriting, no NPR affiliations, nothing.
Okay, let's go to the first selection you've got here. I gather this is a bit of a rarity, not an easy piece of music to find.
No, this is a very obscure B-side from Ike and Tina Turner from 1970, released just a couple months after they opened for the Stones at Altamont.
I'm sorry, for our listeners under 40, can you explain what a B-side is?
Oh, on the old 45s, those old 7-inch records with the big holes in the middle, the B-side was the one that wasn't expected to get radio airplay.
Okay, so it's Ike and Tina Turner.
Yes.
Covering Sly and the Family Stone?
Well, that was the A side. This is the B side. This is called Contact High. It's a very, very typically 70s, very decadent tale of incredibly casual drug use. And as I said, really comes out that dark time. You won't hear Tina doing this on any VH1 Diva specials.
Ike and Tina Turner.
Yeah.
From when is this? The early 70s?
This is from 1970.
Where did you find this, first off? Where do you go find an old B-side of a 45?
Well, actually, I first heard about it when I was doing a freeform radio show in Bloomington, Indiana, when I was in graduate school. We used to have a thing called Women's Week. We did all women's programming, and I had sort of a rock show, and a local female punk rocker came in to do a show with me called Chicks Who Rock. And this is the first song she played. She had a sort of a fourth generation cassette copy of it. And for the last decade, I've been trying to track it down. And I finally found it on an album that I bought used in a record shop in St. Louis for about $2.
Now, your second song here is something a little bit different than that. We just heard that hard rock and Ike and Tina Turner thing. What are we going to next?
Well, this is some hip-hop, and I hadn't listened to a lot of hip-hop in a long time. I grew up with, you know, Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Flash and Dougie Fresh back in the early 80s, late 70s, and I think with the whole gangsta thing, couldn't really get with it, got a little ponderous. But I heard this on WFMU. This is a guy called Thurston Howell III, and that's Thurston as in Thirstin apostrophe, Howell, H-O-W-L. He's a rapper from Brooklyn, and, you know, this sort of reverses the usual conceit. This is not a wealthy, successful rapper talking about his Bentleys and his Rolexes. This is an unsuccessful rapper confessing and telling us the untold story of how the other side of the rap world lives.
So I throw out the garbage and wash the dishes, and I can't go outside without my mom's permission. Even though my flow is uncomparable, I'm an unsigned hype with nowhere else to go.
Hold on. Why are you telling them all your business for, man?
I ain't ashamed.
I mean, your mom really kicked you out, man. Then what you gonna do?
I go move in with my pops. Yo, until then, I still live with my mom.
Living with my mom.
This is for the heads that live with their moms.
So the standard rap cliche is, I'm the baddest guy in town, I'm going to kill you anytime, you don't want to mess with me, and this
right.
is a guy who can't even find a job.
He's living with his mom, he's got to take out the garbage, can't go out with his mother without his mother's permission.
I just want to know, I mean, are you a big fan of hip-hop or just the kind of offbeat versions like this?
it's very clever stuff. And I think, you know, as an English professor, some of the most vital and tasty vernacular English is happening out there in those records. And it's always been in those sort of records. And, you know, if I like it, I'll listen to it.
50 Cent, I guess, is not on your playlist at the moment.
No.
Okay. Your final selection here, I gather, is a little bit more of a classic. Tell us about this.
This is a record by the Shangri-Las, the ones who cut Leader of the Pack and Remember Walking in the Sand. This is really a producer's record. The great Shadow Morton, who's sort of a poor man's Phil Spector, working out of the Brill Building in New York, recording these all these groups from Queens and Long Island. And this is this one's called You Can Never Go Home Anymore by the Shangri-Las, and it really is a sort of... operatic 2 minutes and 38 seconds of a particularly melodramatic after-school special story about a young girl and the fight she has with her mother, and the mother eventually dies, and the young girl regrets it for the rest of her life. You know, it's melodramatic, it's bombastic, it's pathetic, you know, all of the adjectives, yet it has a sort of a strange resonance.
My gosh. Well, let's see if the actual song can live up to your introduction of it, the Shangri-Las. Here we go.
'Cause you can never go home anymore. Listen, does this sound familiar? You wake up every morning, go to school every day, spend your nights on the corner, just passing time away. Your life is so lonely, like a child without a toy. Then a miracle, a boy.
Rumor has it that Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys loved this as his favorite single and helped inspire him to do Pet Sounds, which of course is the first rock concept album. I think there's a direct line of descent from these sort of mini pop wall of sound operas to the, you know, concept albums and progressive rock. And this record, particularly with the manipulation of dynamics and things like this, is sort of the blueprint for Stairway to Heaven, I think, too.
Hush, little baby.